This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Happy Crisile Sunday. I saw a bumper sticker that talks about the theme of the gospel today, and in light of our Crisile Sunday, I think is very appropriate. And it said this: God wants spiritual fruits, not religious nuts. We are truly called to demonstrate spiritual fruits. And it is a difficult Sunday for any preacher because all three of these readings are incredible. They are all so strong and have such teachings for us. So bear with me and I'll try to bring out some of my favorite things here. If you know me, you know that this chapter from 1 John contains one of my life verses. Perfect love casts out fear. That has been a line of scripture that has been with me since my days of college seminary. And I could not count how many times I've been able to call upon that particular verse at a time when I was paralyzed by fear and let the perfect love of God make a difference. So, learning number one: if you want to abide in God, as we are called to do with this gospel, find some verses of Scripture that you can call upon for strength. You won't regret it. It is Crisile Sunday. And typically speaking, on Crisile weekend, the Crisile community is asked to have a speaker who sort of gives a witness or testimony to how the Crisile experience has impacted their life. Well, seeing that I am the babe chick in the congregation, having finally attended Crisile in the Diocese of Southern Virginia last fall, I am your speaker today. I want to refer, first of all, to this reading that we have of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. There's a beginning of that reading that we can't miss because there's so much wisdom there. The angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and says to him, "Get up and go." And he tells him to get up and go from Jerusalem to Gaza. And notice that part in parentheses, this is a wilderness road. The author might as well tell us, this is not the normal way you would travel. This is doing something different. And God has called Philip to get up and go and do something different. And what does he do? He got up and went. And what a difference it makes in his life and in the life of that Ethiopian who now enters into this mentoring relationship and founds Jesus as his Lord and Savior. What a gift. But had Philip not been willing to get up and go, that would have never happened. How often in our lives does our get up and go just got up and went? And yet God is calling us to do something different sometimes. And so point number two today is, Crisile gives us an opportunity to get up and go and do something different. But the call of this gospel is we have to abide in Jesus. If we want to survive and live, we got to abide in Jesus. Curcio is one way where we can do that. Well, if you're at a stage in your life where that is going swimmingly, and you and God and everybody else are on that wonderful path that they talk about in 1 John of loving God and loving your neighbor, then you continue and you go for it. But if things aren't so great, or could be even better, then I would use Dr. Phil's words. Well, how's that working for you? This abiding is an important thing. It's a crucial thing. Picture this. Those of you who went to the Holy Land, the Dormition Abbey, the place that I spoke about a couple weeks ago, where they had the Last Supper, where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples, they leave that place. They are walking now across the Kidron Valley, a place in that time that would have been nothing but vineyards. There's olive trees. There's grapevines. And so Jesus, as he usually does, uses the imagery of those things that are right there and they can relate to. So he probably just grabbed a vine and said, I am the vine, you are the branches. They could understand that. And we should understand it as well. You take off a branch from the vine, it's not going to last very long. But if it stays connected, it will thrive. Not only survive, but thrive. You know, God gave us a great experience of that here at St. Joseph years ago with Hurricane Wilma. If you weren't here then, most of this campus was barren as a result. It was a mess. The cross that is on the top of our church was knocked down. We're lucky it didn't hit somebody because it would have killed them. And the one that's up there now is not going anywhere. It's welded to the support beams of this church now. But the rubber tree that sits over at St. Nicholas Youth House, this is what it looked like after Hurricane Wilma. And there were people that said, well, cut it down, it's dead. But what I'm going to do now, if you haven't seen this, is a time sequence of photos that were taken by Pat and Bill Chatfield as to what happened to that tree over time. That the branches stayed connected to the vine, and yes, as Jesus says, he prunes that needs to be pruned for greater growth. Well, this is what we experienced here with that rubber tree over time. So if you're bored with what I'm saying, just watch the slides. Now, I want to move into talking specifically about Curcio and this gospel for me. When I arrived at this church as your rector in March of 2001, Bishop Friday came to the installation, pulled me aside, and he said to me, Marty, I'm making one demand of you. He said, now that you're the rector of St. Joseph, you will go to Curcio. And I said to the bishop, Bishop, when the time is right, yes, I will go to Curcio. And God's timing is not always ours. Well, shortly thereafter, I was invited to go to Curcio. They had me on the list. And at that time, they happened to be scheduling Curcio on the same weekend as Halloween. Now, at that time, Demery, who is here today, was a small young thing, and it was a daughter and daddy thing that we would go and experience Halloween together. Dee would make her these special costumes, and we'd end up sitting actually on our front porch giving out the candy because Demery liked to give it out more than she liked to go get it. So here we are, and this deadline is upon us. And the person from Curcio, the head of the thing, calls me and says, well, you're going, aren't you? And I said, well, this is the conflict, and explain it. And they said, I can't go, I've got a family thing. And the response I got was this, well, Marty, you need to get your priorities straight. And my response was, I've got my priorities straight, and that's why I'm not going to Curcio this time. Now, I make that point because there is no organization, there is no religious movement, there is no church, there is nothing that is ever going to be perfect, because we're all human beings. And as human beings, we are full of frailty and faults, and that doesn't become the opportunity for us to say, I want nothing to do with it, because we have to abide or we're going to die. And I knew that eventually that time would come for me. Well, time went on for me, and it was just impossible for me to schedule Curcio. it always seemed to land on a weekend that St. Joseph's just had too much going on, but I knew eventually it would happen. Well, finally, Bishop Friday said to me, you know, Marty, you need to go to Crecillo somewhere else. He said, because if you do it here, you're going to be Father Marty. And besides, if you go to a diocesan event, they see you show up, they're going to think that you're cooking for them. So he encouraged me, and with Barbara McKenzie's help and some others, we scouted around and found that there was a Crecillo that was taking place in the Diocese of Southern Virginia last fall. And I was free that weekend. And so off I went. Now, I had Crecillo-like experiences throughout my life with the happening, with the Roman Catholic connection I had back in the day. And through all of that, I sort of knew, and I'm not giving away any trade secrets here today, because they do it differently in the Diocese of Southern Virginia, and I have permission to share these stories with you today. Now, I arrived, and I was just unsure of this whole thing, but I went as Marty. None of the participants, only the leadership, knew who I was. Now, that was the greatest gift that Bishop Friday could have ever given to me. I was able to experience that entire weekend as just another person on the road. I was Marty. I was asking God, show me a sign that this was meant to be. And you know, the first person who was assigned to me to sort of take care of me, his name was John Bates. Now, John, the first thing he says to me, come over here, I want you to meet my wife, Demery. I've never met another person named Demery other than our daughter. He comes over and we start talking and he says that they have a Jacksonville connection. And I say, oh, my wife and I, Dee, we got married in Jacksonville. And he says, so did we, All Saints Episcopal Church, the same place Dee and I got married. Okay, God, I get it. So we go on from there. I'm assigned a roommate. Now, the roommate's name is Paul Rimes. Paul doesn't know who I am. I'm Marty. We got along famously. We're having a great time, just chatting up in the dark room at night the first night. And he says, you know, when I was in college, I used to be at this place. It was Camp Chanko on the Chanko River, a gorgeous spot out in the middle of nowhere up in Southern Virginia. And he says, I haven't been back here since I was a counselor. I really want to go exploring. And he says, but, you know, we're not supposed to leave the room or do anything like that. He says, but I got flashlights and I'm going out early tomorrow morning to explore. Do you want to go with me? Well, I'm just Marty. Yeah! So 5 o'clock in the morning, we know what time morning prayer is, the first command performance, and off we go. It was great fun. He knew everywhere where all the secret places were from days gone by, telling me stories about his experiences. We go down to the river. It's a gorgeous night, early morning, full moon. We're just sharing our stories and everything. This is incredible. Thank you, God. And we come back up. We get back up 5 minutes before morning prayer is supposed to start. And there's a couple of the leaders, arms folded, tapping their feet and looking at me. We're back. We're back. Well, you're not supposed to do that. Well, throughout the day, people start talking to us about this. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, are we in trouble? Everybody knows about this. But it turned out they weren't asking us about this because they wanted to get us in trouble. It's because they wanted to go exploring with us the next morning. So the next morning, we have some folks with us. We do our thing again. Paul's got different areas of the camp to go explore. We come back up, and there's the arms folded once again. I became the bad boy of Crecillo 155 in the Diocese of Southern Virginia. So, third morning, and they tell us, you will be in your room tomorrow morning. Well, we knew that something was up. Now, what they happen to do in that diocese is on the third morning, they come around and they serve you breakfast in bed. We weren't in bed. We had been up and about, and we came back, and when we got back to the room, we realized what was afoot. And so we're running around like a bunch of high school kids, and Paul is throwing off his clothes and putting back on his pajamas and turning off the lights and jumping back in bed, and I'm there like a deer in my headlights, just standing at the door in my clothes when they come, and they look at me like, how did you know? I was the bad boy of Curcio. But I must say, that experience, to be treated in playful mischief, to enjoy other people on the Christian journey, to hear talks where people poured out their soul of their own Christian journey, and above all, to have so many ways of experiencing that you are just a beloved child of God, what an incredible gift. Why would you not want that in your life? So I must give the tag to the story where towards the end of the Curcio experience, now you talk at the tables, and I'm telling about this wonderful church in Boynton Beach where I go, and I'm especially singing the praises of the rector. And the people are saying, well, we're going to come visit you. We go to South Florida. And the leadership said, look, these people are going to show up at your church. You owe it to them to know where to look for you when they come in. You got to reveal who you are at the end of this thing. So they give a chance for people to speak at the end, and they allowed me to speak. And I started by apologizing for sort of being incognito and not meaning to lead them astray, but thanking them for the opportunity to be one of them and just be Marty for a weekend, because it's the first time that's happened in a long time in a professional setting. Well, when I revealed this, they were all looking around, and I said, the deal is there's a name before Marty, and it's Father Marty. And with that, there was this that went across. And I look across the room, and there's my dear roommate Paul, and he's absolutely white. And I could see what's going through his mind. What did I tell him? What did I say? Do I need to go to confession? Do I need to take some of that stuff back? And then he comes running across the room, and we embrace, and there's this incredible moment, and it was just Spirit-filled. What an incredible experience. The Spirit is alive and well in the Diocese of Southern Virginia as it is here. The Spirit is alive and well in the Curcio movement. It's not the only way that we can abide, but it is a strong way that we can abide. It is a great gift. So I go back to the initial question that I asked. Whatever journey you're on, maybe it's small groups, maybe it's a lay religious community you're a part of, but whatever it is, I ask you the question, how's that working for you? Here's a great opportunity to abide. I recommend it. I'd like to ask all those who are here today, who are fellow Curciistas, those who have attended a Curcio weekend, could you please stand? Now, what is amazing, I could do this at the diocesan level, I could do this at the Episcopal Church level. And if you do a match between the people who are on the back of the bulletin as leaders of our church and the people who are Curciistas, you will find a very close match. This is not happen chance. It is a way in which the Holy Spirit can move us to abide in God. Thank you all. Can you sit down? And any of these people will be happy to talk to you about the Curcio opportunities. And at the coffee hour today, there is a special breakfast by donation only that the Curcio team is offering, because we want to make Curcio available to anyone, regardless of their financial situation. Money will never prevent anyone from attending a Curcio from this church. But there are application forms there you can fill out if you'd like to consider. And remember, I signed on in 2001, and I actually went in 2014. So you don't have to do this tomorrow. But abiding in God, do you see how that tree ended up? It might have seemed dead. Look at it today. Whether we are fully alive in the Spirit right now, or whether things seem a little dormant, Jesus calls us to abide in Him. May we do so in whatever way He calls. Amen.